This is WKAR Online. Comedian and author Mike Birbiglia is coming to MSU's Wharton Center. WKAR's Melissa Benmark spoke with him about his appearances on public radio's This American Life, teen angst, and what medium he's most comfortable working in.
I think that I'm most at home writing. It's the first thing I did when I was a kid. When I was a kid, I used to write, like, you know, little, you know, cards, greeting cards and poems. And then eventually when I was in high school, I wrote kind of satire pieces for the school newspaper. I was editor of the newspaper. And then when I was in high school and college, I just started performing on stage. And what I realized is that as a writer, since no one really wants to publish your work when you're an inexperienced writer, one great way to get it seen or heard is just to perform it. And so that's sort of how I started being a comedian. I started working the door at the Washington, D.C. Improv, where I was going to college there at Georgetown. And then, you know, it's cut to about 10 or 12 years later, here I am, and I'm a, you know, comedian, and I've kind of doubled back, and I wrote a book last year, and I wrote a screenplay and directed a film adaptation of Sleepwalk With Me, which is one of my one-man shows.
A lot of our listeners, being radio geeks like myself, will mostly know you from This American Life.
From This American Life, sure.
So where did that come in your career? What role did that play in where you were headed?
Well, it's probably about 4 years ago, actually, now, when Ira Glass heard my sleepwalking story from my one-man show, my last one-man show, Sleepwalk With Me. And he asked me if I wanted to have an excerpt of it on This American Life, and I was thrilled. You know, I was a huge fan of the show, and then Ira and I'd wanted to get on for years. I'd tried to figure out a way to get on the show for years, and it had never worked out. But eventually, he asked me to have this piece on the show, and then he and I became friends, and then I ended up doing, you know, probably seven or eight pieces over the years for the show. And then he actually produced the Sleepwalk With Me film adaptation that I directed this year that was just in Sundance a few weeks ago.
Congratulations on the Next Audience Award.
Thank you very much. Yeah, thanks.
And I'm wondering if, you know, you had the Fear of Sleep show on This American Life, and then you go, You've got the off-Broadway show Sleepwalk With Me, then Sleepwalk With Me, the movie. Is there a certain irony for you that a condition that has actually been life-threatening at times to the tune of, I think, 30-some stitches, et cetera, has gotten so much comedic mileage for you?
Yeah, certainly. I mean, that's sort of the principle of my comedy, and this is true in my new one-man show, My Girlfriend's Boyfriend, as well, which is just that there's within the pain lies the comedy and somewhere. And sometimes it takes a long time to find it, but if you can find it, then you're in pretty good shape. Ira was saying recently that the sleepwalking incident in my life was the best opportunity that had ever occurred in my entire writing career.
One of the pieces you had on This American Life was about trying to break into the kissing business in your early teens.
Right, yeah.
There were these two distinct teams, folks who did, folks who didn't. And there's this great line.
The makeout club and the non-makeout club.
And the non-makeout club. There's this great line that I wrote down, not exactly our first round draft pick for kissing.
That's when I was speaking of myself.
Right, yes, and I really identified with that because I was second lowest on the totem pole in all through school of all of the social pecking order. And you know, certainly a lot of people do teen angst in comedy, but what kills me is how tuned in you are all these years later about those absolute lines that kids make for themselves. You know, you are on the team or you're not. You're first round or you're not.
Yeah.
What do you think it is about, you know, that kind of young absolutism that becomes hilarious when you're away from it for 20 years?
Well, I think that there's, I don't know. I don't want to overanalyze it and take away all the humor entirely, but I think that there's something we identify with about that stuff that, you know, in a way kind of never goes away. I mean, there's always the people in this club and the people in that club, even when you're an adult, the people who have this kind of house, or people have this kind of house, people have this kind of car, people have that kind of car. And when you're in seventh grade, it's the people who have made out and the people who haven't made out. And it's like there's something about it that's so absurd, but at the same time, like, still kind of exists in your life.
But you got to have a little bit of a feeling of revenge now. It's like, I just got an award at Sundance. I've got this movie. I've got this show. If you would have known that, you would have thought I was first round.
Yeah,
20 years ago.
I'm trying to get the word out. I'm trying to explain to these people I'm not a loser, and it's not working. Trying to turn back time, trying to rewrite some history, but it's not exactly working.
Yeah.
No, when I was working on the book, the Lisa Bizzetti, that's a fake name, but that's based on someone's real name. But I called the girl who I had a huge crush on.
Did you really?
And yeah, I called her because I just wanted more details about the situation. I have the whole story about going on the scrambler ride with her and everything.
Oh yes.
And she didn't really call me back. I mean, we played phone tag maybe once, but I was much heavier on the phone tag side. I mean, I probably called her four times to her one, and I was just like, I can't win. I mean, I'm on television, I'm on talk shows, I'm on the radio. And I still can't get Lisa Bizzetti to call me back.
The little redheaded girl still doesn't know you exist.
Yeah.
Oh, geez. Well.
Yeah, you can't. That's how it was. And thus, that's where the comedy comes from.
Exactly.
It never goes away.
For folks who maybe aren't as familiar with your work, what would you tell them if you were blurbing yourself, I guess, about the show that we're going to have here at Wharton, My Girlfriend's Boyfriend?
It's a clean show. You could bring your teenager to it. It's about love. It's kind of optimistic and cynical simultaneously, and you'll laugh, and you might even experience even more than that.
There's a photo on your blog page of you and Ira Glass wrestling, and I don't know if that really is the Entertainment Weekly cover or not, but I have to ask you who won that particular wrestling competition.
I think I did, because he just eventually said, you know, are we still doing this? Are we going to stop this soon? You know.
You sound just like him.
I think I won. I don't know what he would say. That's just my side of the story.